Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
You're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Come on, kids, let's go.
Two.
Start the show. Start the show.
One.
I really thought you were wearing a Donald Trump hat when you came in here.
There's a lot of people today who think I've been wearing a Donald
Trump
hat. Have
you almost gotten, like,
jumped?
Oh,
yeah. I was just at Costco, and as I was walking in...
Did you go to Costco and not pick up a cake?
When I say Costco, sorry, QT. Costco's
okay.
Close to that.
Okay,
I was at QT, and as I was walking in, there was two people coming from the other side. I could see them glaring at me for a minute. And
they
then
were looking at your hat.
And then they read it, and they're like, oh, okay. I don't know what that means, but it's not a Trump hat.
So your hat says, Make America Rage Again, and
yes.
That's from some concert you went to last
night?
Yeah,
I went to go see Prophets of Rage, which is essentially Rage Against the Machine,
yeah.
Minus their lead singer. And then Be Real from Cypress Hill and Chuck D from Public Enemy singing.
Well, that sounds like a pretty cool combo.
It's cool.
I usually don't like throw together bands like that, but...
It wasn't great. It was good. It wasn't great.
So is the Rage singer, like, dead or on drugs? Or?
No, he's always, like... This is, like, the third or fourth time that they've done stuff without him.
He's
just kind of weird.
He's got a pretty distinctive voice, though.
Yes.
Do they do all of the Rage songs?
It's pretty much a Rage Against the Machine show.
Does whoever sings his part do very good?
They do okay.
Go at it now.
Yeah, everything's a little bit slower.
Because they're old?
Because they're old, which is why I walked out and I was like, they should have just called this tour like the Make America Rage, but at a moderate tempo, and we're going to be in bed by 10:30 again.
Awesome. My weekend moved a little bit slower. Typically in this situation, but I took the kids and the family. We had our big annual family day at Six Flags.
I love
over
Six
the weekend.
Flags.
Six Flags is the bomb.
Especially
if
it hates me, but I love it.
Well, we're going to get to that in a minute.
Okay.
But if you grew up around here, like, my family didn't go on very many vacations. We were like your typical, like, middle class family. We didn't have money for vacations.
Mm-hmm.
So our big thing was, like, our family from, like, Oklahoma would come in town, and we'd all go to Six Flags.
Yeah. Well, Six Flags is a vacation.
I think it is. It's like a one-day vacation.
Absolutely.
And it's so hard for my family to get together because my mom works two jobs, one at the stadium. My brother's divorced and only has his kids every other weekend, and I work on the weekends shooting weddings. And
right.
So it's really hard for all the stars to align to get all of us, or most of us, this weekend, it was just most of us together. And Six Flags is so much exactly the same. Like, it never changes.
Never. It really doesn't.
And did you know how disappointed I was when I was probably in, like, maybe high school or college, and I realized that my family was not unique in playing the Hoosie Six Flags first game?
Oh, everyone does it.
I was devastated.
I go on road trips to Springfield, Missouri quite a bit, and I'll play it just going past it.
By yourself?
I'm like, when do I see it? When do I see it? Oh, there it is. There's Superman.
Well, because first you see, like, the green truck on the left, and you know you're, like, 10 minutes from it. It's like a little green dump truck. And, like, as
yep.
you're getting closer and closer, you used to only be able to see the Colossus first.
Yes.
And now you can see Superman and that
Mr. Freeze
bungee jump thing. And
yep.
But, yeah, I remember being, like, in high school and being like, my family plays this awesome game in the car where whoever sees it first, like, yells it out loud. They're like, yeah, stupid. Everybody,
yeah, everybody
plays
does that. Now, the big question is, which way does your family go? Do you go 270 to 44, or do you cut through Wildwood and take the back roads?
We do not cut through Wildwood. We take 44.
Okay.
And so we, and then when we get in the park, we always have the same rotation. We always go to the log ride first.
One of my favorites.
We go to the left. It's one of the best rides
yeah.
in the entire park. And I think you saw we created a photo.
Yeah.
My mom, whenever I was like a little one-year-old baby, she took me down the log flume. And it's one of my favorite pictures ever because
uh-huh.
I had a really crazy fun mom. And it's totally like her to take me down a log flume at one-year-old. And I'm like clutching my baby bottle for dear life.
Right.
And my Aunt Linda was behind us. And we were getting ready to get on the ride. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have to recreate this picture. Like, it was just a spontaneous thing, but it was fun. Because I'm like, okay, mom, grab my boob here. Now, Aunt Linda, act like you're having fun. And they all
act like you're having fun.
They all failed miserably.
Sure.
But we got the picture done.
That's amazing.
I think that the log ride is my favorite ride. And then
it's always been one of mine because it was my mom's too. So she would always want to take me on that.
So we used to start at the log ride and then we would work our way around the park and then we would end with ice cream and the moon cars. But they jacked up the moon cars.
Well, the moon cars is like 30 seconds now. Isn't
it? I was so it's just like a circle. Pissed. That was the perfect way to end your night because everybody could ride it depending on how big or little your kids are. And instead of going on this big long journey, it's literally like a 30-second trip.
Yeah, it's a circle, and they've built a roller coaster over it.
Yes, like the American Thunder or the Boss or one of those wooden ones that are hard for me to ride because like
they shake.
Yeah, now I still ride the Screaming Eagle. I think that's the best ride in the park.
Always will be.
It goes from end to end, and the great thing is the height requirement. Libby Lou can ride it.
That's awesome. That has changed.
Yes. Not only can she ride it, but she wanted to wait and ride in the front car.
Nice.
And so her and Jimmy waited, and like right before we took off, and Six Flags is also, it's nestled in just beautiful area. When we were getting ready to leave on the Screaming Eagle, there were two deer like on the left, and there was like a groundhog on the right. And so, yeah, it's in a beautiful area, and no matter... you know how old you are, it brings you back to being a kid again. And I love that my kids are fearless and they will literally ride anything.
Did you ever go to Six Flags Magic Mountain when you lived in LA?
No.
It is.
I don't think so.
It is the park that they used as Wally World in Vacation.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But their Screaming Eagle makes ours look like a child's toy.
Are you serious? Yeah. Gary, do you know this?
It runs forwards and backwards. But the reason I loved it so much is they have a roller coaster, and they still do, that is maybe the best roller coaster I've ridden on in the world. And I have now come to realize it's the only roller coaster I can ride now due to the harness they use.
Right.
But it's called X2, and you're basically riding a gyroscope on a roller coaster.
What is a gyroscope?
I will find that there's actually footage, first-person footage of it. I'll send you the link, and we can embed it. So... I'm going to have to use, like, straws and pins. So,
All right.
So you have to imagine that this is the track. The top of your computer is the track.
Okay.
Your car sits like this.
Yeah.
And then you sit like this.
That looks like Death Trap.
So your chair can rotate around this.
Yeah.
This can rotate around the track.
Wow. See, I can ride.
Yes.
I can.
So
it, ridden it, Gary?
I've ridden that one.
Any time
sure.
in this ride, you could be going forward facing up.
Yeah.
Backwards facing upside down. And you don't see the track. So you feel like you're flying.
Well, listen, you know, I had a near-death experience at Six Flags on, when did we go? Saturday. Thanks to my fanny pack. Now, if you guys remember,
I saw a picture of you where it looked like you were Rambo, just like packing
heat. I had my fanny pack on and I
like
had the
bottles.
Big blue cups like hanging off each side of the fanny pack. And I'm not noticeable at all with my purple hair. So
at all.
I just blended right in. But I told you guys that I had a near-death experience at Six Flags whenever the Batman ride first opened.
Yes.
Me and my friend Mandy Shermer waited in line, and we were the first people to ride it like that day. And we got in the front seat, and we made it up the hill. I thought the track wasn't finished, and I forgot it was above me. I thought we went off the wrong way. And as stupid as it sounds, I thought I was going to die.
Oh, man.
So I'm riding the Screaming Eagle, and I'm riding it with either Lucy or Libby Lou because we rode it like three times. And, you know, the Screaming Eagle has the seatbelts like a car.
Yes.
It's like a fabric seatbelt, just like in an old like Chevy. And you're in the back seat, you strap in. And I'm one of those moms, even though I love like have fun and do crazy stuff, I'm holding on to the kids for dear life, right?
Sure.
So I've got my arm wrapped around Lucy or Libby Lou or whichever one's next to me. And I guess, like, I exhaled it too hard, and my fanny pack unbuckled.
And you thought it was
the seatbelt? And I thought it was the seatbelt. And I thought, I'm dying. And then not only am I flying out of this thing, but I'm taking a kid with me because I've got her, you know, held on for dear life. And I started looking down, scrambling, trying to put the seatbelt back together. And my fanny pack is flying everywhere. And then I was like, it was the fanny pack.
If there's ever a roller coaster for that to happen on, it's that one.
It is, because you're not anywhere.
Yeah, it's the mildest of them.
Yeah. Except for when you go over those hills, man, they will toss your butt in the air.
Yeah.
And I felt so sorry for Haas because I invited you to come with us.
I would love to do it.
And you can't ride any of the rides because you're 7 feet tall.
Well, you know what's funny is, do you remember when we were kids and they had Looney Tunes Land?
They still do.
Do they?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's super lame.
Like, back in the day, there was an age requirement for the adult rides.
Yeah.
And there was height requirements for the kid rides.
Right.
there was a 3-year period where I was too tall for Looney Tunes Land, but not old enough for the adult rides.
That sucks.
So there was a three-year period in life where I really hated Six Flags. Yeah. Now I love it, but I've realized over the last 2 years that, like, Batman and the rides where the harnesses come over your shoulders.
Right.
I'm too tall, waist to shoulder, for them to lock
to
down.
To click down.
And the new ones, like that American Thunder and all that, they've made the car so shallow when you sit down that I can't get my knees down enough, and the bar hits me on my knees.
That sucks.
So, yeah, like, I'm screwed. Aside from, like, the Log Flume and Thunder River and then the water park and, like, maybe Rush Street Flyer, there's nothing for me there. And I love amusement parks. I'm such a sucker for anything tourist trap.
Me too.
But, like, when I was talking about that coaster in L.A., it has a butterfly harness. So you sit in, and you put your arms through, and then you lock it in over your chest.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
I think they've kind of come a long way. Now, you have trouble with the safety harnesses not fitting you. I have problems with rides like the Swings and Batman, who build this big lump that goes in between your legs.
And that's why I can't do Batman, is because I can't slouch down.
Okay.
Because that is there to stop you from, you know,
flying out
the bottom.
However, my feet don't touch the ground when I'm getting on and off Batman, on and off the swing. So that thing nearly impregnates me. I have to, like, hoist myself up over it and then, like, leap for the ground and hope my fanny pack doesn't get caught on the way down. But we had fun. Did you guys always get ice cream at the end?
Oh, and you have to. The big giant one and the sugar cone. Six Flags smells like three things. And the combination of them smells fantastic.
Yes.
Chocolate.
Yep.
Burnt sugar.
Yes.
And chlorine.
Yes. Pretty amazing. And
what is the time tunnel / makeout ride called this
year?
It
is now the Justice League, which is actually a cool ride. Mm-hmm. And so the line is so long, nobody wants to ride it.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a 3D ride now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So no one's making out on it anymore.
No, that was like the coolest thing ever.
Yep.
But my kids were leaving and they were happy and they had their ice cream and it's running down their arms and they were just so disgustingly sticky. I couldn't, like.
Of course.
And Libby Lou goes, unicorn challenge, and takes her whole waffle cone and just smashes it into her forehead. I'm like, is that a thing? Like, I didn't
I
even
guess
know.
So.
Speaking of things, we are going to have a little Mano in here next segment.
Okay.
Rocky's going to come in, and he's going to talk to us about this crazy water bottle challenge. So
all right.
We will be right back. It is episode 69 of the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. We got a gun.
Kelly Mano Show.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
One, two, three, and ten. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast, episode 69. I'm very proud of our adultness and not making any jokes about that yet.
Okay.
Pretty amazing. I think we're growing up.
I'm just tired.
You're tired. So we have a special guest in the studio. Everybody, welcome my firstborn, Rocky Mano.
Yay! Hello, everybody.
So I posted something on Facebook the other day. And I did not realize what a huge response I was going to get out of it. So basically I put, like, hey, is anybody else dealing with their kid flipping water bottles? Because it's driving my husband and I crazy. Because, and I know it doesn't.
I do it 24/7.
It doesn't sound like something that would annoy you if you didn't live with it.
I would handcuff his hands behind his back.
It sounds like the dumbest thing to be annoyed by. But
no, it's just the dumbest thing.
For about, a month now, Rocky is flipping water bottles, every bottle we have, everywhere we go, on every surface we own. And all you hear is just all day. And then the bottles start getting cracked underneath.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so, like, I can't find any of our water bottles. We don't have any water bottles. And, like, I walked into a hockey practice one time and everybody was flipping out because apparently Rocky landed a capper, which is when you land upside down up on a rafter at East Alton Ice Rink, and it's still there right now because nobody
And
can
it was
get
also
it down.
On top of a puck.
Yes, there was a puck and then a bottle upside down. We've got a picture of it that we can show you. And so basically, really if you don't have a preteen boy in your house, then you don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't, but I did.
You knew?
Oh, yeah. I'm the one who posted the video on your page.
That, well, okay. So the first thing I heard about this was this talent show where this guy came on, and Gary, we have to put this on the blog. For a talent show, he just flipped this water bottle to this song, and it landed, and everybody lost their mind. Now, is that guy dude perfect, or was he?
No. I think that was the first time... I think that was like the first ever water bottle flip. I think that's how it got invented.
So you think that guy started before Dude Perfect?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So Dude Perfect is like a YouTuber.
Yes.
And when he does something like five cool, it's five people.
Five. Yeah, it's a group of them.
Yeah.
And they're like, the guys who throw basketballs from all sorts of crazy places. And put
and when it lands, they're like, Dude Perfect, right? Is that why he's called Dude Perfect?
Okay, it's a weird story. They got the name Dude Perfect because in their first video... they had to set up like their phone on like a little stand, but not like a tripod. It's like a they had like the lean on something.
Yeah.
And then one guy said, "Dude, perfect."
Just and then it just stuck.
Yeah, all because of where a camera was.
So the other night, Rocky was driving me crazy, and I'm like, "This is so stupid." So I decided to prove to him like how easy this was. I'm like, "Look at how dumb you look." I'm like, "Let me show you." So I grab one of these water bottles, and I start trying to flip it. Mm-hmm. And to my surprise, I can't do it.
Really?
And I'm typically, like, I'm not trying to brag, but I'm typically good at most things. Okay? Like, I pick stuff up easy.
Brag.
Especially if, humble brag, especially if it's something hands-on. You know, like, I pick up stuff easy.
Right.
And so what turned into, let me show you, Rocky, how stupid this is, ended up 2 hours later, me not letting Rocky go to bed until we could synchronize our bottle flippings. Like, he was so tired, and he kept getting it, like, nailing it, and I kept screwing it up. And
nice.
So I have a video that I just posted on Facebook. If you go to Facebook and go into Kelly Mano, you'll see it. But, Rocky, now you, Haas, made a comment that this is easy, that it's basic science gravity.
Well, I didn't say it was easy. I said there's basic science to it.
So basic science is in getting the right amount of water in the bottle.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it.
Because Rocky was, like, blowing in the bottle.
Yeah.
Filling it, dumping it out, drinking
part of
some.
Part of it is making sure you have enough water, the right amount, not too much and not too little.
Yeah.
Part of it is how high you flip it, like the arc you use.
Yeah.
It's and a lot in the wrist.
You don't, you don't want to flip it to where it's like going crazy, but you don't want to lazy flip it either.
So I want Rocky to try to teach Gary and Haas how to flip those bottles. And I want to see if in, we'll say what, 60 seconds, if they can land one. So, Rocky, just kind of demonstrate.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay, that didn't even land on the table.
I'm going to make a prediction right here.
What is your prediction?
None of you guys are
going to
be doing
yet.
It.
Nobody
none?
Flip yet.
None of you guys are doing
Rocky
it.
Doesn't think anyone's going to be able to do
what
it.
Do you want, what do you want to bet that I'll get one in 60 seconds? Let's make this a real bet.
Ooh.
I'll bet you my Brett Hall rookie card.
Holy
What are you
going to
pony up?
What would you give him? You got a lot of autograph stuff in your room. Maybe you let him borrow your Alex Ovechkin signed jersey for a week. He looks like he's in so much pain right now.
I don't know what to do. I have too much stuff. I can't even think of one thing.
He doesn't want to give any of his stuff to you, Haas.
All right.
Yeah.
How about if he doesn't get it, you give the Brett Hull doll back to him that Haas gave you?
No, that's yours.
No, he thinks it's possessed and won't let it sleep in his room.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I used to think that,
possessed, like, in a bad way, like by a demon?
Yes. He is
scared. Like, it keeps on moving, and nobody keeps... I asked everybody in the family if somebody moved it, and
you think
says
maybe
no.
The dogs are playing with it?
No.
Oh, no. It's upstairs. The dogs never go upstairs.
Susie still hasn't figured out that we have an upstairs, because she's really dumb. This Brett Hull doll has been, like, the topic of... like many debates in the Mano house. Because Rocky's like, who moved my Brett Hull doll 2 inches to the left? And when none of us did it, then he thinks it's a ghost. And then, so every night before he goes to bed, he takes his Brett Hull doll out of his room and puts it in somebody else's room.
Elf on a shelf.
It's like it our is. Own elf on a shelf. Only we can't decide whether we should just put it away or really start messing with it.
I'm not scared of it anymore.
Hole in the hall.
Hole in the hall.
All right. So so Ryan,
you know what
I'm
you've just done is you've given your sisters away to mess with you for the next like 5 years.
He's gonna be like hanging from the ceiling by like a thread that you can't see. You're gonna wake.
You're gonna
up
wake
night.
Up and he's gonna be holding a knife.
You have the wrong family to be letting this in. Yeah, that is something I would do. Only if it's on video for YouTube purposes. So Rocky, give them a couple of tips. You can't get it every time. We know that. But give them a couple of tips on how to flip a water bottle. I'm going to put 60 seconds on the clock. Actually, Lisa, can you put 60? Do you have your phone with you?
Yeah, I got
my phone is
I
doing.
Got mine.
Oh, you got yours, Hoss?
Yeah, hold on.
So we are going to put 60 seconds on the clock, and I want to see if you or Gary can land a bottle in those 60 seconds.
Well, that's not what I wanted. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Is it started?
All right. 60 seconds.
Yep, 60 seconds on the clock.
3, 2, 1,
go.
Start.
All right. So first, you don't wanna flip it too low, or you don't wanna flip too high. You wanna flip it like right here, except not that much flip. And don't like.
I'll even give you guys an extra toss. You're not even getting it
I'm
all the way around.
Trying to cap it.
Also, don't like do this. Just keep it normal.
Nope. Hoss is not even getting the bottle around.
I'm trying to cap it.
Why? Don't try to cap it. You're even holding it wrong to do a cap.
Yeah, you're holding it wrong, Hoss.
Ooh.
You're very so close. Nice side flop.
A little bit more flip. A little bit more. Oh, you're so close.
Now, Gary, you got to hold it off the table. Yeah, don't leave it on the table. Yeah, you got to flip it from.
Way!
All right, producer Gary got it. Hoss, how much time is on the clock?
I get an extra 20 seconds because I keep having to tell everyone how much time's left.
Okay, go.
Yeah. Come on, Hoss.
Nope. Oh, he's trying Gary's bottle now. Different approach. Oh,
I'm taking the one that's closest to me.
I can't even do it right now. Oh, my God.
Okay, Hoss is standing up now, which means the bottle has a much further
much
to go.
Further to go. Yeah, I'm done. I don't
all
care.
Right. So, Hoss, it's kind of addicting, right?
Hoss can give me the Brett Hull rookie card.
No, I can't.
Oh, wait. We did bet a Brett Hull rookie card, didn't we?
No, we didn't, because you didn't bet anything back.
Rocky, why didn't you bet something back?
I couldn't think of anything.
Dumb move, kid. Dumb move. You don't get the card.
Oh, man.
I didn't think of anything.
Well, see, and now you're going to want to keep doing it, because
I'm just doing it because it's here.
It just bothers you until you get it. And so,
no, it doesn't, but
it bothered me. It bothered me until I got it. And so for all of the other parents out there who are losing their ever-loving minds over the water bottle challenge, you are not alone. Because and I just heard from one of Rocky's baseball buddies' dads.
Right.
Because Rocky doesn't play fall baseball. He's in hockey season. He said the kids, see? He said that the bench, the baseball bench of kids is driving the coaches crazy.
Oh, yeah. I would, if I was a coach, I would ban bottles.
But how? The kids have to have water bottles.
Give them to parents. But the when they need a drink, you call your mom over.
No. Moms can't come to the bench, though.
They can now.
They have, like, those big, like, water
jugs. You know how you do it?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a hamster feeder where everyone just comes over and takes a suck out of the thing at the bottom. You ain't flipping that bitch, number one. And secondly, it's now community water.
Yeah, he said that having these water bottles on the bench is as bad as having like an iPhone on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so funny. We think we're all so different. We're all special snowflakes. We all have our own fingerprints, where we all came from, this conglomerate of cells. Yet one idiot flips a water bottle in a talent show, and suddenly all of America
goes up.
Well, this is no different than all of those games you used to see at like the truck stops when you were a guy, like catch the ball in the cup and things like that. They're very simple games.
Yeah.
But the reason they last as long as they do is because it's not as easy as it looks.
All right.
And that's what it is. Like, it's not that it's a complicated game.
Right.
And there's some skill to it, but it is as much luck as it is skill.
All right. Thanks for coming in, Bubba.
Yep.
All right. Go get ready for bed. All right. We will be right back. Our favorite resident psychic and dream interpreter, Lisa Pini, is going to join us next on episode 69 of the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. But don't choke if you do. You have no clue of what me and my homie Snoop Dogg came to do. It's like this and like that, like this and it's like that, like this and like that and it's like this. And who gives up a fuck about those? So just chill.
to the next episode.
The Kelly Mano Show.
The older she gets,
the more she understands Britney's 2007 meltdown.
Back once again.
It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by Ultimate Party Entertainment. Our buddy Addison, been in business since 1994, rocking the DJ and MC world. I am a wedding photographer in my real day job. And I was just talking to a bride the other day about how, you know, it's kind of hard to mess up being a DJ, but when you mess it up, they mess it up bad. The last thing that you want at your wedding or special event is some 19-year-old kid who thinks it's his own karaoke show. And trust me, I have seen it a lot. So Ultimate Party Entertainment is your one-stop shop for any corporate outing you have, wedding, private event. They provide everything that you need. You can give them a call at 314-920-7789 or go online at ultimatepartyonline.com. Make sure you mention the Kelly Mano Show and you will get a 10% discount.
Hey, dirty. Look at that girl right there. She makes me say,
boom, boom, yeah. Boom, boom, do what you I like the way you do that right there, right there. Switch your hip when you walk and let down your hair, down your hair. I like the way you do that right there, right there. Lick your lips when you're talking, that make me stir, make me stir. I like the way you look in them pants, yeah, you're fine. Little mama a quarter piece, she far from a dime. The type of girl that
it is the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast, episode 69, and we have not had our friend Lisa Pini in since the big move, so welcome to the new studio,
Hooray!
Lisa. Hi. Did you find it okay?
Yeah, it was real easy. GPS is great.
Isn't GPS wonderful?
Yeah, but just plugged in my broom and off we came.
You are a funny one, Lisa. So how has the psychic ghosty world been?
Very, very busy.
How are all your ghosty friends doing?
Very good.
What was the last ghost you saw? I always ask you that. Or what was the last spirit you talked to?
Oh,
was there like one in the car on the way here? Or?
No, not today. Yesterday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots this past weekend. So
I meant to ask you, have you seen the new show on E! With a psychic? It's a guy named Tyler, and he's really young.
Yep. From Hollywood.
He's really good, isn't he? Do you like him as a psychic?
I haven't really seen him that much, but the few times that I've seen him on TV, yeah, he's been pretty good. The one that I was really impressed with was one that he had done with Peter Knight, who was...
One of the Bradys.
Yeah. Is it Peter Knight? Christopher Knight.
Chris Knight.
Yeah. I was really impressed with that one. He did a really good job.
You know,
that dude is crazy.
Chris Knight?
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
And he married a crazy woman, too.
But and then she left him, and he got even more crazy.
He's very crazy. And Lisa knows, I've told her from day one that I've always been really, really skeptical of psychics. I do think that there is... I think we all have, you know, we all know what our instincts feel like, and you know, I think everyone has like a little bit of premonition in them, but I do think that there are people out there that are extra gifted in it. I just think that they're so far and few between with all the ding-dongs out there like Miss Cleo and...
Well, she was an actress. Yeah, there's a lot of wannabes out there.
Yes.
And, you know, just in St. Louis alone, I mean, I can tell you who to stay away from.
Right.
Yeah, it's
and
crazy.
You didn't you just recently do a gallery reading, or was that coming up?
No, I did it. I did it in Jefferson City a few weeks ago.
Is that where you're just reading people in the crowd?
Right. So there was 100 people in this room, and I got to say, I knocked it out of the park.
Dang, I should have come.
I was exhausted at the end. There's a picture of... somebody there and my husband and I, it looked like somebody had just worn me out.
I bet.
It was exhausting.
Because you have to be nervous going into something like that.
I was nervous for 2 weeks.
Yeah, because no matter how good or bad you are at your job, everybody has off days.
Right.
Whether you're a psychic or whether you're a tow truck driver, like everybody has off days, and you don't really want to have one when you're in a gallery full of 100 people who have, I assume, did they pay money to get in?
Oh, yes.
Are you planning any more of those coming up?
I wasn't, but I mean, I've gotten so many emails and text messages about, you know, have another one. I want to come back.
Well, let me know because we'll promote it on the show. Heck, I'll come introduce you on stage like a rock star. Like, I love that kind of stuff.
I was looking for somebody to introduce me.
See, I would have done it.
And I told my husband, I said, okay, now do an introduction here. Well, like by take 35, I said, you're fired.
Nice.
I'm like, you're done.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we have, before we get into the dreams, because producer Gary, his wife has a dream. I have a dream that I need to run by you. Okay. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, and hopefully my mom's not listening. I don't think she is because she gets all worried about stuff like this. Do people... And I'm going to talk too much because what I do is I ask you a question and then I'm going to answer it for you and try to get in your head. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So don't let me do that. The last month or so, I've started having this weird feeling like something big is going to happen to me, and not necessarily in a good way. It's almost like I can see myself being taken care of. But it's gonna be okay. I don't know if that makes any sense or not. To the point where I have even at my last doctor checkup, I'm getting things checked into that I normally would ignore because I am the furthest thing from a hypochondriac. And so at first I thought, you know, there was a day where I almost got like a little fender bender. I'm like, it's gonna be a car accident. I'm gonna get in a car accident. And then, you know, I've had this little weird thing in my leg and I'm like, oh, it's gonna be my leg. This is what it's gonna be. But I keep carrying around this weight like I've got something big coming. And then the reason that I'm going to talk myself out of it and why I'm going to try to talk you out of it is because for so long in my life, I always had something really big going on. This is the first time in my life that nobody's dying in my life because, you know, it started when Jimmy and I got married and we had Rocky and he was so sick and he was given a 50% chance of survival. Right after we got him better, my grandma passed away, and then my grandpa passed away, and then his mom and dad both passed away, and then my dad passed away, and all of those were illnesses. None of them were instant. So it was like, for so long, somebody in my life was dying. I mean, that's just what our lives were. And it's been 3 years since my dad has passed, almost. It'll be 3 years in November. And I think my brain is not used to the calm. And maybe that's why I'm freaking myself out or getting inside my own head. But I never let you read me. Every time you come here, I'm like, don't tell me anything about my dad. Don't.
Right.
But is it normal for people to have feelings like that and be wrong? Am I freaking myself out for no reason? Do I need to start like wearing my seatbelt all the time? And
well, yes,
I do wear my seatbelt. Actually, I do wear my seatbelt. I'm a very good driver, but it's just little things have been happening that I feel like God's been putting in my way. That
your side mirror would speak otherwise. So I'm a very good driver.
That's my third side mirror that I've gone through in a year.
A lot of times when there's things going on with the planets, you know, alignment, mm-hmm. Mercury's in retrograde right now. I mean, things are just kind of out of whack for everybody, and it's not abnormal for you to be feeling like this.
So you don't think I'm going to get in some horrible accident like next month? No. I feel like whatever it is, I'm going to be fine. I don't have like some heavy feeling like I'm going to die. I just feel like I keep thinking there's something's going to happen. Like things have been so quiet for so long that my body is almost like, okay, what are we going to worry about now?
You got to learn how to relax.
I mean, that's what I was thinking.
You got to learn how to relax. I mean, so it just might be the universe going, Kelly, hello, knock, knock. Learn how to relax a little bit.
Might I suggest Ambien?
Yeah. No.
Maybe a Xanax, but not Ambien. I think after the Mercury in retrograde ends September 22nd.
What does that mean?
Well, it's...
I hardly even read my horoscope. So for me, that doesn't even...
In plain English, it means that a planet has moved into a different sphere.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, a lot of things happen, like the earthquake that was in Oklahoma.
Right.
So, you know, strange things like that will happen.
Is it kind of like a jacked up full moon, like a heightened version of a full moon? Just weird?
Bingo.
Okay.
Bingo.
Got it.
Bingo.
We should do
like the whole horoscope thing sometime.
Well, you know, I actually have something in my show book about horoscope stuff. I can look and see if I still have it, but it's I forgot what it, but it was very interesting. I can look for it on the break. And we can talk about that a little bit. So you don't think that anything bad is coming my way. You think I need to relax?
No, I don't think anything is bad at all is coming your way. And I've known you long enough where I would send you a message and go, heads up.
Right. Don't get in a red car in the month of October.
Bingo. And that would be specific like that. You
right.
know? So I see absolutely nothing.
Okay. And I'm good at calming myself down. So
right.
maybe I need to work on like a... I need to learn how to meditate.
Yeah, you do.
Well, you're kind of like, you know, kind of doing that with the whole belly dance.
The belly
dancing
is as close as I get to meditating.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's really good for you because you've got to concentrate so hard,
mm-hmm.
you know, and moving certain muscles and
right.
stuff like that. So actually, that is kind of a form of meditation.
I don't know if I could meditate silently. I can't even lay
in a
tanning
bed.
That's hard.
I can't even lay in a tanning bed for 12 minutes. I jump out at 10 and I'm staring at the glowing bed going, well, I don't want to walk out and be like and be embarrassed that I couldn't stay. But literally, I'll jump out at 10 minutes and sit on the chair because I can't lay still for 12 minutes.
Once your body is in that mode of calmness, you're like, no, this isn't right. You've got to be doing something. So
okay. I need to plan something. That's what I need to do. Because now that we moved, like everything is calm. And I got to be honest, I'm feeling frisky. And frisky and not in a sexual way. I mean frisky in a like, it has been a long time since I've been in the news for something stupid. I was just telling Jimmy the other day, I'm like, I am so bored right now. And when I get bored, that's bad. And so I said, you know, I don't want to do something just for the sake of acting like an a-hole, but it's time to start brainstorming as a show because we need another $300 pile of poop dinosaur on the news. Yeah, something's got to come.
I so want to be involved in that.
You do?
Yes.
Because you can predict whether or not the cops are going to come.
Well, I know a lot of them, so we're good.
Good.
Nice.
I do have one dream that I would like you to interpret, and then I'm going to have you interpret Gary's wife's dream, and then I've got a couple other ones to go over with you. But I rarely dream about my dad. I think on purpose.
Is that what you said?
Rarely. Okay. Very rarely. But I had a dream and my dad was in it and we were in my grandparents' garage, which were his parents who have all passed. So that house is gone. That house is not even in our family anymore. And my dad was in the garage with me and I knew that grandma and grandpa were in the house. So I knew like everybody was back. And we were looking out the garage window, like the garage door was down and we were looking out the window and out the window was almost like a movie playing of a lot of the things that have happened since he had passed. And one of the things, two of the things I specifically remember was like we looked out at the window and we saw my daughter Lucy playing soccer. And I'm like, Dad, this is the game where there's a shooting. I'm like, but don't worry. Everybody's fine. Nobody gets shot. We're okay. And he's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you guys went through this. And then like the next thing that was playing was Ferguson. It was like the Ferguson riots were right outside of our door. And he's like, why did this happen? You know, and he's like, how did this turn out? Was it what he kept asking me. He's like, how did this turn out? I'm like, you know, we're still dealing with it, to be honest with you. I said it started this huge race war. But it was just my dad and I like watching all of the things that have happened since he passed. So what is there anything even to interpret there or is it just kind of what it is?
Well, number one, it's a visit with your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, you were in a comfortable place. You know, so grandma and grandpa's house is usually a signifying factor of being very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So you were in the garage. And number two, he was just making, you know, clarification as to how you were through all these things.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what's going on.
Right.
He can see it, but he's just making sure that you guys are handling it okay.
Yeah.
He also, when they're there and they're asking you questions like that, that's his way of telling you, I'm here, I'm watching out for you.
Yeah.
So that was a really, really good dream.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't dream about him very often, but it was cool to dream about my grandma and grandpa's house again.
Right.
Because I hadn't even thought about their house in, you know, maybe day, you know, it wasn't like right before I went, like, I've been on Facebook before and looked at someone's profile and then had a stupid dream about them that night.
Right. And that means nothing. When you do that, that means
right.
zilch. But, I, you know, my dad's been gone. He was gone 9 years and mm-hmm. just a couple of days ago, and I never dream about him.
Yeah.
I think I've dreamt about him four times in
I woke
years.
Up feeling good about it. I didn't wake
Bingo.
Up crying. I didn't
That's,
wake up.
That's
mad.
A good dream.
I didn't. It was just very like a calming dream. But
that's
it was just me telling him because a lot has happened since he's been gone. You know, I wish I could like write him letters and be like, you won't believe it. Bruce Jenner's a girl. You know, like because that was like his big athlete growing up. Like there's just so many, you know, not even.
Maybe
just,
don't share that with him then.
Yeah. Maybe don't lead off with that one.
He already knows.
All right. So Gary is married to the lovely Ree. Her name is Anne Marie, but she goes by Ree. And she had a dream that she wanted you to interpret.
Okay.
So it's pretty simple. She said that she was being chased by somebody, and this person kept saying that they wanted to kill her. She kept being chased. It was almost like a continuous loop. They weren't really getting anywhere. It was almost like they were like on a green screen or like on a treadmill. And she said, and he never caught her, but.
That's a pretty simple, straightforward dream. It means that she's not learning how to let go of things, and it's eventually going to catch up to her. So, like, stress will catch up to her. Whatever, you know, she'll just be completely out of it.
That's absolutely perfect because she's one of those people that never says no.
Right.
She will, especially when it comes to her family. If somebody in her family needs something, she's always saying yes, no matter if it's putting her in a bad situation or putting stress on her, she's going to do it anyway. So, yeah, that's...
She's got to figure out a way that, you know, if she wants to say yes, that's fine, but don't make it rough on herself.
Right.
So she, you know, she's in danger of collapsing, you know, if things catch up to her.
Under the pressure.
Yeah,
mental pressure.
That's exactly what that means.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, really, really quick, I had one as well. My father just passed away
a few weeks
ago. And you know, when he was alive, I never really dreamt about him. But, yeah, it was an interesting dream. It was almost Field of Dreams like.
Oh yeah.
Cause you know, he was like my baseball coach when I was little, when in Little League, he was always my coach. And we were on this baseball field out in the middle of nowhere and kind of having a catch. And, you know, I know it's only been a few weeks, but we were talking about stuff that's happened in the last couple of weeks.
It sounds a little bit like mine, just like
exactly,
a shorter version of what
it's exactly the same thing. Uh-huh. You know, he's just letting you know, hey, I'm okay. I haven't forgotten. You
that's
know,
weird that we had pretty much the same dream in your comfort spot and in my comfort spot.
Right.
That's
you know?
Crazy, yeah.
That's creepy.
That makes me feel good that you guys are open to it and you realize it, you know, so
right.
It's just our way of coming through.
What, you know, being chased is a pretty, you know, regular occurring dream. What is the one where you show up to school or work naked?
Yeah.
Because I remember whenever I was a kid, we had these orange and white striped bath towels, and I had a dream that I went to school in nothing but that towel. And in my dream, I could feel the towel, and I could see the little rip in the corner, and it was so real that I was at school booty naked.
Right. It means that you're in danger of embarrassing yourself. So
oh,
don't...
well, shit, that's every day. Yeah.
So don't put
that's called Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow. So don't put yourself into a situation where it could cause harm. The embarrassment could cause harm.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. What about, I know a couple of times over the years, not anytime recently, I've had like a dream where my husband is leaving me and then I'm mad at him all day because of the dream.
Because you're a girl and that's what girls
because
do.
Because I'm a girl and that's what we do. So what if you have a dream that your spouse or your partner is either cheating on you or leaving you?
It means you're in danger of losing something.
Like a physical item?
Yeah, like a physical item.
Wow.
Right.
I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yep.
And then what about meeting a celebrity? If you have a dream about, like, I honest to God had a dream about making out with Justin Bieber, and I'm not just saying that because I love him.
Oh, my God.
It was, like, 5 years ago, and it was a good dream. We were making out, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm making out with Justin Bieber. Whoa, whoa. And so what does that mean?
It means you're going to jail because he was 15.
Right. Whatever. Shut up.
It means actually that you're looking up to somebody, not necessarily Justin Bieber.
Uh-huh.
That you're,
no, but she does.
Yeah, I do. I love
that
him.
You're looking up to someone, or somebody is going to be looking up to you. Adoration.
Ooh.
So it's more of an adoration type dream.
Never would I thought my inappropriate Justin Bieber dream could possibly mean that somebody would be looking up to me.
There you go.
I need to try to have that dream again tonight.
Might I suggest Ambien?
Ambien and watch some Justin Bieber videos before bedtime. What about falling? That's always a big one.
Oh, that's a huge thing. Usually falling in a dream means that you're having an out-of-body experience.
Oh, is that the crap where you on the bed?
Yep. Yeah, and then with the harder, like when you jolt, you yes. wake up and you're like, you're jolted. It means you went into your body. After a long time, you can kind of ease yourself into it. But when you jolt like that, you never fall. If you notice, and you know, if you kind of think back,
right.
you never hit the ground.
No.
You never hit the ground.
Because if you hit the ground, you die.
Bingo. He hit the nail on the head.
I also heard that you cannot read in your dreams.
That is very true.
And once I learned that, I started having dreams where I was trying to read.
And you can't read.
And I would
That's just because you're stubborn.
I know. I would open a book and I'd be like, you can't read the words. So
right.
if you think about it, you've never had a dream where you could read. Like even
That's
if
correct.
It was a street sign or something else. Crazy. Sleeping freaks me out completely. We've done like 3 full shows on sleeping as it is. Not even including the shows that you've been on. So will you hang out with us and just talk about
yes,
stupid
absolutely.
Stuff for another segment?
Sure.
Before we go, I want to make sure that people know how to get a hold of you, because you do like psychic parties, right?
Right, I do parties.
So those are the big thing back in the day. Like, screw the Tupperware parties. Those are boring. You have a psychic party and everybody kicks in $30 or $50 or something, and then you all take turns getting read by Lisa.
Right.
So if
right.
you're interested in having a... I know with Halloween coming up, you probably get really busy.
It's my busy season. And they can get in touch with me at area code 315-796-6014, or they can get me at blackcatpsychic@aol.com.
And we will also put all of that up at kellymano.com, so if you're driving in your car, please don't run off the road. You can visit the website later today and check it out. We will be right back with Lisa Pini. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast.
Come on, cause I like it when she bring it back. Hey. Uh-huh. Ooh, 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 uh-huh. What you do? I like the way she doing that.
Come on.
Plus I like it when she bring it back.
Say it.
Ooh, 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 what you do?
The Kelly Mano Show.
Ladies, dance is the new yoga. If you're interested in a new and exciting place to move your body, have fun, and make new friends, look no further than Sacred Movement. Sacred Movement is a warm, safe, and inviting studio that will help you discover your inner goddess. They offer a variety of feminine movement classes, meditation classes, women's workshops, and monthly red tent gatherings. For more information or to register for classes, visit them on the web at sacredmovementstudio.com or call 314-398-8184. Be sure and mention you heard it on The Kelly Mano Show. Sacred Movement, where women go for dance, community, and empowerment.
Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
You know what? All the dogs I'm dropping. It's Friday night, so everything is popping. I got skin to spin on the hand, so let the games begin. Yakety yak. Don't talk back.
I am trying really hard not to get all worked up and pissed off in this next segment.
I know.
I'm just gonna report it like a non-biased journalist.
Did I send this to you yesterday?
I think it was. I had already seen it. So I am here with my co-host Hoss, and our favorite psychic Lisa Pini is hanging out with us. It's no secret that we are in the middle of probably some of the worst racial times, I think, since the 60s, you know.
I would say outside of the civil rights movement, we're probably in the most divisive time.
Because it's almost like I don't remember what it was like before Mike Brown and Ferguson.
I do. I was born in 1963, so I remember the Black Panther movement and the Black Power. So
right.
we're reliving this all over again.
Right.
I mean, this is, like, I just remember thinking that when I was like in high school, thinking that when my grandparents were dead and that generation was gone, that racism was just gonna be gone, because that was really the last generation that sort of carried any of it with us, and we were all being raised, all of us in our 30s and 40s, to love everybody.
Right.
It was very rare that I came across somebody in high school that was racist. And if they were, they were torn down for it. You know, it wasn't right. something to be proud of. And so I don't have the answers because I'm only white. I can't speak for a black person. I don't know what that's like. But when I heard that the Black Eyed Peas were doing a remake of their song Where's the Love, and yep. that they were going to get all these other celebrities, I thought, well, that's cool, because that's like a pretty cool song, you know.
And that was a great song.
Right.
I worked that song, actually. That's when I was in L.A.
Yeah. Well,
this was, fun fact, this was the first single that had Fergie as a member of the band.
Really? Well, you would hardly even yep. know she's in the band in this video.
And it had Justin Timberlake in it, too.
Because this is the Will.i.am song here.
Yeah, this, basically what they did
stupid ass auto tune.
They took the song and put it into a minor key to make it go from being like this upbeat song to a very sullen,
right,
like ballady, boohoo us song.
And I thought, well, cool. Like, you know, I knew all the celebrities were going to be in it, and I thought, well, that's cool that, you know. Because we remember, like, the Michael Jackson We Are the World days, yep, yep. you know, and I thought, well, this could be really good.
Could have been.
And then I started reading. They added in all of these lyrics.
Well, and it doesn't help that the Black Eyed Peas are the Nickelback of R&B.
They really are. And seriously, could Will.i.am be a bigger douchebag?
No.
Like, him and who's the Nickelback guy?
Chad Kroeger.
Like, they are the black and white version of each other.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Over here on the streets, the police shoot the people, put the bullets in them. Over
Thanks,
here,
Puff Daddy.
Over oh. here on the streets, the police shoot the people,
right,
put the
on.
Bullets in them.
Rewind about 10 seconds because there's a visual in this video that I wanted to talk about. There.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
That's Eric Garner, right?
Right.
That's the gentleman that was pretty much suffocated by the police for selling cigarettes, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So, my first reaction after watching this video was, they have police officers in the video.
But they
also have a very strong Black Lives Matter message, although lyrically it says All Lives Matter in the song.
Right.
My first thought after listening and watching this was, they are playing both sides of the field. And
to me, they're only playing the Black Lives Matter side.
Well,
I mean, to me, the police get run over in this song. They do say,
lyrically, they do. Lyrically, they get bitch slapped.
And that's talk. That's not bringing people together. If you're blaming one side or the other, because.
But that's how they do it. They lyrically write it like that to capture their attention. And then, oh, we better smooth this over and put out a video. So it's like one side against the other.
There are absolutely, there have been instances of, you know, African-Americans being shot by a police officer when it wasn't warranted. Like the guy who was sitting
and
with
them. There was another one of a mother holding up a picture of a child. Now, what I wanted to know.
It was not Mike Brown.
No, it wasn't. I was waiting for that one. So what I wanted to know was, why was there no family members of any of the police officers from Dallas who got shot?
That's what I wanted
right.
to know, too. Why
exactly.
wasn't the Dallas, and not just the Dallas, I mean, we had it right here in
right.
Bolin.
And then you had Baton Rouge Bolin, and everything
right,
else, too.
Right around the corner from me, Louisiana, everywhere.
Because there have been absolutely, we know that racial injustice happens. We've all
100%.
Seen the Rodney King tapes.
Yep.
There are absolutely black people in this country that have been treated unfairly and profiled by police for being black. Mike Brown is not one of them. Mike Brown is a thug who attacked a police officer, and then because of his little skinny friend who went on the news
yep.
and said he had his hands up and he was running away, there are all these people running around screaming, hands up, don't shoot, and then the freaking mm-hmm. autopsy comes back, and he was shot in the front, and the bullets show that he was charging forward.
Yes.
And if that stupid-ass kid would not have given that interview on the news, I just think all of this would be so much different.
I agree 100%.
Oh, yeah.
And going back to something we talked about at the start of the show, the concert I went to last night, anyone who knows Rage Against the Machine knows the basic message of them in the 90s was very
anti-government,
anti-establishment, and that has rolled itself into current times. You also now add Chuck D from Public Enemy, who was a very power-to-the-people hip-hop artist. I would say about four songs into their set last night. The overall message of the tour, like it says on the hat, is Make America Rage Again. Mm-hmm. So, like, a few songs into the set, I believe it was Chuck, said, St. Louis, we're here to make St. Louis rage again. And everyone goes crazy. And he goes, and that includes Ferguson. Silence. Like, wow. Just crickets.
Because...
And I think it's because there's too many people who... And this is part of our culture. People get angry at something for all of about 30 mm-hmm. seconds until there's something else to get angry about.
And then they forget about
and
it.
And people forget the resolution of the problem. And I think this is another case where people outside of our region, because we had to live through this, forget that it was disproven, the whole hands up, don't shoot thing.
And they almost glamorized
it. Mike Brown was not... the victim. I mean, he was the victim in the sense that he's dead.
He's dead.
But
right.
He wasn't an innocent victim.
Correct.
No.
And so you see that happen from stage, and you're just like, oh boy.
Mm. Yeah, it's just frustrating because somebody like Will.i.am in his rich-ass New York apartment doesn't know jack shit about Ferguson. He was not here getting emergency letters sent home from school on what to do with the verdicts announced during a school day. He didn't live through it. It wasn't fun. It's not something to glamorize. And when there really are black men being treated unfairly by the cops, you look so stupid when you throw Mike Brown in that group.
Well, it goes on.
Now, they do say here, and I'm not one to know every lyric, it does say, where is the love when a child gets murdered or a cop gets knocked down? I don't know if that is a nod to the cops, but
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, I think that has to do with like Officer Flamion and Baldwin and mm-hmm. stuff like that. In Louisiana, because we've seen so many cops, I think that was their way of making it.
You have to make it right on all sides.
But then they go on. Then they go to knock the cops again. My mama asked me why I never vote, because policemen want me dead and gone. You know,
that doesn't make sense to me.
You cannot bring this world together by throwing one side or the other on the bus.
You can't.
A lot of people, I think that it's just been sort of assumed that the Black Lives Matter movement and the Police Lives Matter movement are against each other.
Absolutely not.
When there's
not.
Plenty of people like me who are right in the middle.
Right.
And I kind of see it from all sides. You know, and, you know, I see that there's a problem. But writing a song where you're saying that the police want us dead and gone, and that over here in America, the police want them dead, put bullets in them, that's not going to bring you together.
No, it's
I
not.
Don't think radio stations should be playing the song.
Oh,
I,
they will.
I think
they're going to because it's going to be in demand. It's a song that's going to
when
be
was
in demand.
This, do we know when it was released?
Uh-uh. No. Hold on. I think it could have been really good. And then because they had to go and take sides, you just turned off half the community. You know, you just turned off, you know.
The problem is the audience for that song doesn't care.
Nope.
No.
And I don't mean that from a race side because... I mean that from an age demographic.
Yeah.
The kids who are listening to this don't really care what the lyrics are.
No, they don't. And then another thing, you know, another thing that really made, I think, everybody mad over the weekend was the release of this Brock Turner from
that douchebag.
From prison.
Oh, my God.
3 months? Yeah. Are you kidding me, 3 months?
Was it even 3 months?
It was three months. And, you know, a lot of people are, you know, again, calling it a race thing, saying it's white privilege. And it's like, hey, this is way more class privilege than it is white privilege.
Yes,
100%.
Class privilege.
Well, you know what race it had to do with? Green.
Exactly.
That's the color that won that, not white.
Yeah.
Because trust me, one of my third cousins that, you know, from wherever we would get in trouble for this.
Yeah.
Would not have gotten this treatment, even though they were white. This is a class thing. And this is a problem. I swear we can trace back every single problem that we have to our Justice Department and our judges failing us and having all of these different rules for different people. And that I just think that if there were ever a candidate that came forward and said, okay, we are going to make laws. If you get caught with a DUI, you're going to jail for 24 hours.
Right.
If you get caught with this, you're going to jail for 3. If we just had
the same set of rules
for everybody,
for every jurisdiction. What about the kid in Texas who killed 4 people drunk and driving thing?
Yeah, like,
and
2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
He got probation and time served.
Slap on a wrist.
Unbelievable. And what was this judge, whoever let him go, thinking?
They paid him off. The judge had to know his family
they had
in some way, shape, or form.
But the judge also had to know that there was already huge controversy around this kid's sentence.
Right.
And then you're going to, well, it turns out, I read here that Turner, his name is Brock Turner. So if you forget the story, he was caught raping an unconscious woman behind a dumpster at college. I think it was Stanford. He was like a standout swimmer.
Yep.
And so all of the newspapers and media are printing all of his medal titles and you know, making him
putting
out
a good boy picture up.
Right. And this girl was saved by, like, I think a couple of guys,
who saw it
and pulled him off of her. But it said Turner, like nearly all of California jail inmates, are released after serving half their sentence. As long as they stay out of trouble behind bars, they can generally get out. They get 2 days of credit for every day they served. So it sounds like that this is pretty typical in California. That
it is.
So but 6 months.
Yeah.
6 months for raping an unconscious woman.
Could you imagine if that was your daughter?
Oh, my God. Well, I would be in jail myself.
Well,
I would absolutely be in jail.
The I don't want to say silver lining because that sounds malicious, but the aftermath of him being released is the fact that there are people now camped outside of his house.
Well,
with signs, with like the best sign I've seen that says, "Hey Brock, when you come outside and I rape you, I hope I only get 3 months."
So here's the picture. So I guess he lives in like Ohio or somewhere where it's an open so it's an open carry state. So you can have your guns out, which is crazy. That's a whole other conversation. But so here he is, and look at all these people. Look, they're writing on chalk on his driveway. You know, we don't forget, we don't forgive, expect us. This guy says castrate rapists.
That's anonymous, by the way. That whole we don't forget, we don't forgive, expect us.
Oh, is it?
Oh, that group Anonymous? Yeah.
They're stupid,
yeah.
too.
Tell me that was really Kelly feel. Anonymous. That was not me who said that. Please do not hack my bank account.
Whatever. I ain't scared. I ain't got shit in my bank account anyway.
Scared.
Let's see. So basically, this guy's life is a living hell.
As it should be.
Yeah. He's going to have to move out of the country.
Is the door closed? Good. You can put an R rating on the show if you want. Fuck that guy.
Seriously.
Right in the ear and butt and every other orifice you could.
Look at all these dudes. Who wants to mess with these guys?
Nobody.
They're like, take no shit. They got like AR-15 slung over their, you know.
That dude's going to live in exile somewhere.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'll bet you they wind up putting him in the witness protection program or something.
They're going to have to.
Yeah, because...
And he's going to have to get, like, some drastic plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Well, he'll figure it out, because remember when Casey Anthony was released after she killed her little girl and was found not guilty? You know, she was in hiding for a long time, and now she's out living a normal life, and she's a photographer now. But here's the guy's dad trying to mow the lawn. I feel bad for the parents.
You know what? I don't feel bad for that dad.
Yeah, and after that letter he wrote.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for that dad.
That's a
douchebag.
It was just a temporary lapse of judgment. Screw you
and
your kid.
What did he say, 20 minutes of fun?
Right, something like that.
I
forgot about that letter, so I take that back. But yeah, there he is in his backyard. So there he is.
Please tell me he's... Okay, good. Oh, he's wearing a KU shirt. Go figure.
But yeah, so I mean, like, really, like, what are the chances that somebody kills him?
He won't get killed because there's going to be too many cameras around and there's going to be protection around him.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen.
Yeah, he's definitely going to have to move. He's going to have to go to another country and let things die down and come back because... Somehow or other.
He is a registered sex offender now, yes?
He is, and for the rest of his
and
life.
And the rest
he
of his
be.
Life, yeah.
So that's going to, in some regards, that's going to cut off some of the job opportunities he has. However, the problem being, he comes from an affluent family. I'm sure daddy knows a few CEOs, so we'll find a way to get
him. Oh, he'll probably get a job at daddy's company.
Oh, yeah, he'll get a job making $250,000 a year. No problem.
Yeah. Must be nice. Yeah. So just stuff like that just has me all pissed off this beautiful Sunday evening. But
Monday evening.
Yeah, Monday. Oh my gosh, it is. That's right, from the holiday.
I've had a 4-day weekend. I so don't want to go back to work.
Oh yeah, me I know. Either. I've got so much to do tomorrow. Yeah. My list is endless. My girls are starting soccer. I'm the coach of one of their teams, and Rocky is gearing up for hockey. And we still have stuff to do around the house. And I've got pictures to edit. And typical week in the Mano house, but
got
so
much crap left to talk about too.
I know. You know what? We just need to do a second show this week.
All right.
We really do. I mean, like some weeks it's like stuff moves kind of slow, and then there's other weeks like tonight where like we blinked and we're already over an hour. You know, and
wow.
It's just crazy. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I hope it wasn't too far of a drive for you.
It was exactly the same distance.
You're kidding.
No, right where we live is exactly the same distance.
So
awesome.
Tell everybody again where they can get a hold of you if they want a psychic reading or if they want to have a psychic party.
Phone 315-796-6014 or blackcatpsychic at AOL.com.
Sounds like a plan. Uh-oh, hubby's uh-oh. Got more.
Huh? What? Doesn't that sound like the old lady?
Is there anything sounds else like you wanted John. To add to that?
No, we're good.
Okay.
Awesome.
Let's get together and try another show later this week. And
okay.
Lisa, I wasn't kidding. Next time you do a big gallery session, let me know.
I will.
Because I will come introduce you on stage. I think that would be fun. And like I told Hoss, I'm itching. I'm bored. I am ready to do something stupid.
I am too, but for a bunch of other reasons.
So... who knows what I have up my sleeve?
Count me in.
Count me in. She'll let us know if the cops are coming. As always, if you like the show, share the show. As a matter of fact, I forgot to give away Toby Keith tickets. I have 4 tickets to go see Toby Keith this Friday night in St. Louis. Or is it Saturday? I think it's Friday.
What's the date?
I don't know. I didn't print out the tickets.
All right.
We will give those away somehow. I'm sure it'll involve sharing this show.
Probably.
So, something pretty simple like that. But anyway, we love you for listening. If you like the show, share the show. If you have an email you want to send us, or if Anonymous would like to try to hack my email, it's heykelly@kellymano.com.
I'm not involved with this. My real name is Chris. Leave me alone, Anonymous. I like you guys. Do not
Shut
F with
up.
Me, please.
You're such a wuss. All right. I hope you have a beautiful water bottle free flipping week. And we'll talk to you later. Until then, be good, have fun, stay sassy, classy, and a bit smart assy. Hoss is super tired. So anything for the guys.
Something for everybody. We are the music makers and we are the dreamers of dreams. Rest in peace, Gene Wilder.
All right. We'll see you guys in a couple days.
Thank you very much.